It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Today, March 8th, is International Women's Day. And one thing new about it this year is that it's now an official public holiday in Berlin. The city parliament there voted 87 to 60 in January to make it one. They call it Frauentag. And today, for the first time, schools are closed for International Women's Day in Berlin, and most workers are getting the day off. Who cast those 60 no votes in the Berlin parliament? Well, Fortune magazine reports that more conservative parties were advocating for a different holiday to be added. They had room for one more, they said. They wanted the Protestant religious holiday of Reformation Day, but International Women's Day won. Happy Frauentag. My next guest tweeted her happiness this morning over the move in Berlin, Christiane Amanpour, CNN's chief international correspondent, host of Amanpour on CNN International and Amanpour & Company on PBS. So we'll talk about International Women's Day and more global news with Christiane. Thanks for taking the time today. Always good to have you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Wonderful to be with you, Brian, especially on this day. And sorry if I've got a bit of a scratchy line, but I'm busy celebrating International Women's Day in London.
And you tweeted, supporting women and men saves the world. Why'd you put it that way?
I think it absolutely does. Plus, I've just been hearing and listening and interviewing people who tell me that all the time, that when you know, men get a lot of support. I think when you start to support women equally across the board in all aspects of daily life, that combined with the power of men really, really does shift the global balance and really makes a big, big step towards what I would like to call saving the world. I mean, that's just it's just something to say, but it's true because when you leave out full empowerment of half the population, you've only got a poorer world in every single possible area. So I think it's really important to understand. Plus, I don't want to just say support women, because I really do think, particularly as the mother of a 19-year-old son, I really believe that the time now is to support both boys and girls, men and women, and not one at the expense of the others. Although, of course, women do have a lot of catching up to do, and the playing field has a lot of leveling to do.
Have you been following the Justin Trudeau scandal in Canada, which is about an alleged backroom deal he made to keep a major company out of a criminal conviction? But I see it being also reported as a black mark on Trudeau's previously strong record on women's equality. Do you know the gender aspect?
To be honest with you, I have to admit that I haven't actually been following that, although I'll go straight back and look into it. I mean, look, Justin Trudeau, as prime minister, when he was elected in 2015, made a statement that reverberated around the world. And it was a statement by which he actually physically had a 50-50 cabinet. So his cabinet was made up of, half men, half women. And when reporters asked him why, he said, because it's 2015. And it was a simple declaration of fact. And I think that, if you look at the United States and elsewhere around the world, things are moving in that general direction. Obviously, there's a long way to go. Obviously, women are still in a state where it's their security, their personal security and safety, not to mention equal pay for equal play. I mean, so many aspects are still not equalized. But I think once it does get to be more equal and eventually hopefully equal, you'll see a much healthier world. I mean, mm-hmm. All you have to do is look at the statistics, whether it's the IMF or the World Bank or the United Nations, wherever they look, even in the United States, the minute you start putting equal numbers of women in all walks of life, the actual community, society, country gets healthier and even GDP grows. So, it's not just a moral case, it's also a financial case.
And apparently, with this backroom deal, Trudeau undermined one of those women cabinet members, and so she quit, and then another of the women cabinet members quit in support, so it's also become a gender issue in Canada. I see you covered the Donald Trump-Kim Jong-un summit and Hanoi, and reports today are that North Korea has now rebuilt a missile launching site that was supposed to be dismantled after last year's summit. What happened in Hanoi?
Well, look, I think that a couple of things happened. Clearly, in the run-up to the summit, if you look at all the reporting around the sort of preparatory meetings, didn't go very well, and they didn't come up with enough substance to be able to sign off on an initial deal in Hanoi, and I think that was really a problem. And obviously, it shows that preparatory work has to be done. In the past, all of these kinds of difficult negotiations, particularly around nuclear issues and ballistic missile issues, they take dozens and dozens of experts and weeks of sort of, paperwork and crossing T's and dotting I's and seeing what's palatable to each side. It's not something that can just be done with all the will in the world at the last minute with the two leaders. Obviously, their chiefs of, State Department and intelligence on the other side had worked together, but clearly not enough progress had been made to get the two leaders to sign off on anything in Hanoi. And that's a shame because, on the one hand, it is a good idea to try to dial down the pressure and the tension and really the warmongering between the two leaders, which was the signifier of a couple of years ago. That sort of died down. But now we have to get real negotiations to really see what's possible and start defining what exactly denuclearization means and what each side can realistically expect the other side to give and vice versa. But again, it takes time. And, I think it's very easy to throw up your hands and say, oh, it'll never happen. The North Koreans are always cheating and it'll never happen. But I think that with time, it could happen given the right circumstances.
We've got 2 minutes left. I see you will be giving the keynote speech at the James Foley Foundation Freedom Awards, honoring Americans detained abroad and also the safety of freelance journalists. Could you talk about the importance of those awards this year?
Look, I think, especially this year, any journalist awards are very, very important, not because of the sort of plaques they hand out or the speeches that are made, but because of the consistent assault on the free press inside the United States by the administration and around the rest of the world, which is taking a lot more support because the president of the United States has this view about members of the free and independent press in the United States. So it's a very, very important moment to keep hammering away at the fact, the incontrovertible fact, that a independent, rigorous, free, and fair press is an indispensable piece and pillar of democracy. And I think that we have to be safe and secure physically, but we also have to be able to practice our profession unintimidated and unobstructed by our own democratic governments. It's not like we're facing assault of this kind from dictators. It's now coming from within our own Western and democratic countries. And that is very, very perilous, very perilous. And there's a slippery slope, between flinging insults at the press and actually causing a gathering distrust in the press. And the free press makes the difference between truth and lies. And the difference between truth and lies is freedom and dictatorship. So it's not just a vanity project when we say we're the free press and we deserve to be treated accordingly. It actually has a substantive effect, a substantial effect on civil society, on our democracies, on governance, and on everything. If we can't tell the truth and hold those in power accountable, then what differentiates us between, the press in wherever, in Iran, for instance, or wherever else you might look, in Saudi Arabia?
CNN chief international anchor and anchor of Amanpour, weeknights on CNN International and Amanpour and Company on PBS. Thank you so much. Keep it up.
Thank you.